This is a wonderful song, isn't it? I took with me a bunch of sermons that I was planning to preach, but I didn't get to the sermons, except first day I gave one, and that's it. Because I decided to talk about prayer, and when we talk about prayer, usually it takes forever, and forever it's a long time, you know. And so, usually if I talk about prayer, probably I go up to 2 weeks and I don't finish, or I finish. So I really don't take the computer or the notes anymore. But I am planning to speed up a little today. I want to finish what I started yesterday and move into two more points, even three if possible today. Yesterday we talked about God's will. May your will be done. Thy will be done. You remember? And I said yesterday in a nutshell that it's not enough to only say it after you say the prayer, may your will be done, amen, as a formula, as a duty. We feel good if we say that, and if we say in Jesus' name, amen, it's like we feel better. But many times we don't think it, we don't mean it. And when you say it, you got to pray in truth and in spirit. I don't know how to, truth and spirit. Basically, you got to mean it to say what is in your heart. And my glasses are really dirty. I can hardly see you. But anyway, you know, I have a habit sometimes when I am tired to try to scratch my eye and I forget that I have glasses. That doesn't work, you know. And I get them dirty. But anyway, so when you say, may your will be done, you got to mean it. You got to desire God's will above your will. Therefore, it is okay. Wow. It is okay to present your needs before the Lord. Absolutely okay. As long as first, remember what we said. The Lord's Prayer has first, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom, thy will. So first you focus on God. And the second part of the prayer, give us, forgive us, and do not lead us. Second part of prayer, you focus on you. And we have the habit to just focus on self, period. And prayer should not be focused on self, should be focused on God. The function of prayer should not be to solve problems, seek blessings or answers, but seek relationship, seek God, seek to know Him. That's why God gave us prayer, to build a relationship between Him and us. Because says in Romans, if He gave us Jesus, how will He not also in Jesus give us all things? God doesn't send all things alone without Jesus. Just give me the money and leave me alone. I don't need the relationship. Give me the blessings and leave me alone. God wants you to have Jesus. When Jesus comes, with Him alone come blessings. If you receive Him, we many times want the blessings without the blesser. I don't know. We don't say it, but that's how we behave it. That's how we pray. I said before, if you remember, I recorded many prayers from my church members, and all prayers are self-focused. And so therefore, you first must focus on God, and after you focus on God, then you can focus and present your problems. And that's for your benefit, because when you focus on God, it reminds you who God is, it builds faith. And then you have faith to present your needs, because without faith, God cannot even work. And so, I said that already. I'm trying to emphasize, because people ask me, but is it okay to present your needs? Yes! As long as you first focus on God, and then after you present your needs, then you always give God permission to do His will, not your will. You say, Lord, this is my problem. I would like you to solve it. However, I accept your will. Please do the way you want, not the way I want, because you know better and you love me more. I will get to you. You love me more. Therefore, I give you permission to do your will in my life. Help me to accept it, even if I don't understand. Because faith is not to make God do what you want, it's to make you accept without understanding what he wants. Okay. That's a good point. How do you know your needs? We don't. We think we do. We don't. We really, based on the mindset and on the information we have, we think that this is what we need. But our problem is not our real problem. What we think is our problem may be our solution. There is a quotation in the Spirit of Prophecy that says, many times through our greatest trials, God is actually answering our needs. Hello? Many times through our greatest trials, God is answering to our needs. And so many times we consider this a problem, like Joseph's prison. A problem, but that was God working. And our real problem is not what we think is our problems. Our real problem is self, Ellen White says. She says the greatest enemy that we have is self. Self is in need to be crucified. And basically it's not our enemy that is our enemy. It is self that is our enemy. Do you follow me? And so many times we pray wrong prayers and we think we pray good prayers. Therefore, we must submit and surrender. It's easier to return tithe. It's easier to do evangelism. It's easier to build churches. All of that require a little sacrifice, but it's a lot easier than surrender. That's where we struggle, to fully surrender and fully trust God's plan and God's will. And Ellen White has a quotation that is extremely powerful. It is in 7 Testimonies, page 30. You want to remember this quotation. She says to everyone, you remember the quotation? I said it to you on the first day. To everyone that fully surrenders, withholding nothing for self. You know what that means, to fully surrender and withhold nothing? How many? Everyone means how many? Everyone, doesn't matter age, doesn't matter education. To everyone that fully surrenders, withholding nothing, now listen carefully, unlimited heavenly power is provided. Can you grasp it? Unlimited heavenly power is provided. God cannot do that to somebody that doesn't surrender, because that power would be used in a wrong way. But if you fully surrender, unlimited heavenly power is provided. And then you keep reading, and one page later, she says, for those that surrender, God can work through them as he worked during the disciples' time. Hello? And then she says, whatever, listen carefully, this is tough. This is really strong. Whatever the disciples did, every church member ought to do today. Hello? That's a quotation. I can put it on the screen. It's 7 Testimonies 30 and 7 Testimonies 32. The two quotations. And it's all between the two. It's all a sandwich of surrendering. She says what it means to fully surrender. And she explains in those two pages. To everyone that fully surrenders, withholding nothing, unlimited heavenly power is provided. And later, what the disciples did, every church member must do today. Can you even grasp that? Can we understand what it means, unlimited heavenly power? God doesn't need money. We sometimes say, oh, we don't have the money. We don't have the people. God doesn't need people. Remember Gideon. God can give victory through 100, through 300, through 1, or through 1,000,000. Doesn't matter, because he does it, not you. God doesn't need money. We don't have the money. God has the money. All God needs is full surrender. And so therefore, when we go in God's presence, we must, after we present our needs, say, I really don't know if this is my need. Therefore, I fully surrender and give you full permission to do whatever you want. Help me not the way I ask. Help me accept the way you want. Even if I don't understand, help me trust you. Because that's the issue we have, is trust. That's the reason we don't surrender. We feel more secure if we do the way we want. And that's pretty strange, to trust self more than trust God. We don't say it, but that's the way we behave. Anyway, so you give God permission to do his will. But in order to do that, you need to know, because it's not only what God does, but what you do. God has a plan for you daily. Ellen White says that Jesus would wake up early in the morning and seek God's plan for today. How many people seek God's plan for today? I am curious. You see, let me give you an example. Steve, he used to be the pastor at Columbus Academy. Not Columbus, Ohio, Columbus, Wisconsin. It's not the same thing. It's a little smaller. Okay. And he said to me after hearing the prayer seminar, I'm going to do that. And he did it. And one day he called me and he said, you know, it changed my life. Every morning I say, Lord, I really want to serve you today. Open my eyes, my ears, my, help me see people, hear your voice. I made myself available. Help me serve today. Make me a blessing. Use me. And he says, I made myself available. And God answers. I told him, be careful what you pray, because he may answer. And so he said, I'm going to give you a story, he said. I prayed that way for about 2 weeks. Nothing happened. But lately, it started to happen. He says, I don't get it, why it didn't happen in the beginning. I said, brother, it did happen. You just didn't hear it. It takes a while to start to learn God's voice, to distinguish that impression that God puts. Many times God talks and we dismiss it. And I told him, it takes a while to get used to God's voice. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it. And many times you know that he said you don't do it and then it's a mess. And you wish you did it. But anyway, so going back, he said, it was vacation. Nobody in the school, because it's a boarding school. During summer vacation, kids go home. And he said, school was closed. I was home. In the morning, I prayed and said, Lord, after I did my prayer and my study, he said, Lord, I made myself available. Please use me today. And later, throughout the day, his wife says, let's go shopping. We need to get some food. We need some groceries. He said, okay. They got in the van, a junk Dodge Grand Caravan. Anybody having Dodge Grand Caravan? I will pray for you. Sorry, I'm just kidding, but I had one. Great car, great engine, bad transmission. Anyway, that's not the subject. Let's move on. So they got in the van and they went towards grocery store. And he told me, I learned to stay in communion with God. And he says, God spoke to me in my mind and said, go to the school. So I told my wife, honey, let's go to the school. And she says, honey, it's vacation. Why would you go to the school? He says, God spoke in my mind clearly. And he said, you need to go to school. And she said, honey, it's your mind, it's not God, because it's vacation. The school is locked. Nobody is there. He says, honey, if it was my mind, would have said, go to Olive Garden. It's not my mind. It's God, because it says go to work during vacation. And she said, okay. She turned the van and they went to the school. They get in front of the school. Gates closed. Somebody in front of the school crying. They stop the van, get off the van and say, how can we help you? And the guy says, well, 21 years ago, I used to go to this school. And they caught me with drugs and they expelled me. And then I took drugs again and I got in jail. And then I got drugs again, and I got in jail. And then I got drugs again, and I got in prison. And then I got out, and I started to sell drugs and sell prostitution. And they put me in prison for a long time. And he said, I lost my wife, I lost my family, I lost my job, I lost everything. In prison, somebody gave me steps to Christ. Steps to Christ, I don't know if you have seen it, it's an ASI book. At the end has Bible studies, questions and answers. It's very nice, Steps to Christ. You may want to order it. It's cheap, it's like 70 cents a piece. We ordered like 40 boxes of it in Lexington. And everybody, we gave one, because it's not only the book, but the Bible studies at the end of the book, you know, it's powerful. And he says, somebody gave me a Steps to Christ with Bible studies. And I read it, and I had no other book, so I read it like about 20 times. He said, I learned the book. And he said, I repented, and my life turned around. And I want to come back to God. And this is the single place that I learned about God in my life. So I don't know other place to go, so I came here. And I said, Lord, I really want to turn around. I need help, but the gate is locked, and I don't have a place to go, and I don't know what to do. And he started to cry, and he was crying and praying, Lord, please send somebody to help me. Is God talking or not? You tell me. God never stopped talking. My sheep hear my voice. Another situation, I could talk until tomorrow, story after story after story, you know. But for instance, I have a friend in Flint, Michigan. After hearing the prayer seminar, he's a good guy. He's a wonderful guy. They own a business. He and his wife are very well to do. And he has a nice suburban SUV, expensive, top of the line. They are okay. They are doing well. And the guy started to pray that way. Lord, I need to know your will. I need to stop seeking my will. I need to start doing your will. So show me your will for today. And he was driving on Interstate 94. And it was snowing. Well, when you say Michigan, you say snow, you know. They go together. It's like when you say Chicago, you say wind. In Chicago, the wind blows twice a year. 6 months from the east and 6 months from the west. That's it. In Michigan, summer is one day. It comes in a Thursday. If you leave home Wednesday and come back Friday, you missed summer. Well, not so bad. They have nice farms, but the winter is terrible. But anyway, I'm not going to go more into that. It was mountains of snow. They would plow it, and in front of the school, they're like in front of the mall, in front of the Walmart, mountains of snow, and it kept snowing and snowing and snowing. And for 6 months, you would see no sun. But anyway, so that's not my point. I don't care snow. My wife does. Me, I could not care less. I can live any place. You give me a motorcycle, a few books, a fishing line, and I'm happy. Pretty simple. And so, back to the story. He was driving on Interstate 94. And he was praying in his mind after hearing the prayer seminar, Lord, I made myself available today. Please, if there is somebody that needs my help, show me. And as he's praying, he hears a voice in his mind, look to the right. And he turned his head. And all the field is white. And the road is white. It's snowing for 3 days and three nights. And he says to his wife, I saw something white on the field. And his wife, honey, snow is white. No, there was something white on the snow, like something like that. She says, honey, you went to sleep too late last night. He says, no. God spoke in my mind. I got used with the voice. I started to learn the voice. So he got on no U-turn. He turned around, went to the previous exit, turned around, came slow. Sure enough, he sees something in the field, in the snow. He stops the SUV, puts the blinking, the hazard lights, and he goes there, and there is an old man in a white robe, gray hair, snowed over. And he does that, I don't know how they do it. I never managed to get it, but anyway. He does that, and he says he's still alive. He looks here, and the man has a band that says his name and then says Alzheimer's. The guy left the nursing home to go home and forgot how to get home. And he fell and his nose on him whole night. And he was frozen, but still alive. So John put him, put him in the SUV, rushed to the closest hospital, and the doctor said it was a matter of minutes until he would have died. He is frozen, we will try to save him. Meanwhile, they called the daughter of the old man. She came and she says, they drive on the interstate quite fast. And he was far in the snow. And he was covered by snow. And he was in a white robe, gray hair. How did you see him? He says, well, it's a long story. You will not believe me. Just tell me. He said, well, I pray every morning that I would serve God and he would speak to me. And God said, look to the right. And I looked to the right and I turned around and he was there. And she says, I want to go to your church. Well, we don't eat pork. I don't care what you eat. Well, we worship Saturday. You can worship Tuesday. I could not care less. And she says, this is the single church that I found a God that is real. Hello? People are not looking for doctrines. People are looking for God. You seek God's will above your will, he's going to show you his will. Back to the lady yesterday. You remember the lady that talks a lot? Okay? And she said to me, how can you listen, not only talk? Because the spirit of prophecy all over says that you should also learn to listen in prayer. The Bible says, listen carefully, in the morning, I give you Bible verse now, and you can Google it. I pray and lay my requests before the Lord, and then I wait expectantly. In other translations, I wait quietly. But in Hebrew, it says expectantly. Another Bible verse. He awakens my ear, not my mouth. He awakens my ear to listen, not to talk. As a disciple listens. We always just talk. But the Bible says, he awakens my ear to listen. When do we do the listening part? And so the lady says to me, how do you listen in prayer? And I said in my mind, yep, you never listen. You always talk, lady. But I was a good pastor. I was polite. I smiled, didn't say anything. I just said it inside, you know. And she says, I tried, and I thought I can do it for 10 minutes, and I could not be quiet more than 15 seconds. I said to myself, poor husband. But I didn't say it. I just thought, you know. I just smiled. Anyway. And so then I said to her, listen, you cannot start listening when you don't know how to listen. Just learn progressively. Learn to pray and study and reflect and pray and make it a conversation back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You follow me? It's like breathing. Ellen White says, prayer is the breath of the soul. You breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. You follow me? And I said, it will slowly come. And don't worry about when. Just do it. You know? And so, I didn't really think that she would do it. But she did it. And about a month later, she called me and said, Pastor, I've been an Adventist since I was born. I don't know if you can be an Adventist when you are born, but anyway, that's what she said. I've been an Adventist since I was born. My parents have been Adventists, my grandparents. I'm the third generation Adventist, but I've never experienced what I experienced this week. And I said, okay, it sounds interesting, tell me. She said, well, I've been trying to pray, and not only say a long prayer or a short prayer, and that's it, and study five chapters, and that's it. I was trying to actually reflect and think and pray and study and pray and study and think. And You know, God started to actually talk to me, and I started to read between lines, and I started to sense his impressions in my mind. And she says, in the beginning, I was not sure, but the more I do it, the more used I get. I said, yeah, praise the Lord. I said, well, the story is not over. I said, okay. And then in my mind, now she's going to talk for 3 hours. And she said, God actually impressed me strongly. I asked him, I said, Lord, I want to serve. And so far in my life, all I do, I go to church, keep Sabbath, and that's it. That's what we do. And we think we should be saved because we serve the Lord. No, we don't serve anybody. When you keep Sabbath, you don't serve the Lord. You heard me. We should keep Sabbath. Don't get me wrong. But it's not that we do a service to God. You don't help him because you keep Sabbath. You help you because you keep Sabbath. And she said, I started to realize that I do nothing for the Lord. I just go to church and back home. And I think I am a Christian. And if you are a Christian, Ellen White says, you must save the lost. That's our mission. That's the reason we exist. Ellen White says, that's the reason of existence for the church. To preach the gospel. That was the great commission. It's not the great suggestion, you know. And so she said, Lord, I actually want to serve, to use my gifts. Tell me what to do. And after I prayed like that for about 2 weeks, God said, okay, are you ready? Build a community, start a community center. And she said, what do you mean? And the Lord impressed her again tomorrow and again tomorrow and again tomorrow, start a community center. And she was like, wow. And she calls me and she says, Pastor, God said, start a community center, so come and help me. I said, no. God told you, you do it. Leave me alone. And honestly, I didn't trust her. Yeah, God talked to you. I am the pastor. Why didn't he talk to me? I didn't trust her because, you know, it was inflation of words. You know what inflation means with money? Much money, no value. When they print more than gold they have, and more than work they have, and more than industry, more than economy. A lot of paper, no value. The same with people who talk a lot. Many words, no value, you know? And so, inflation of words. She was talking all the time, and nobody was listening. Nobody cared. So I said, yeah. Okay, God bless you. Go and start a community center. And she says, no. You told me to listen and to follow God's will every day. Now you need to help me. I said, why in the world I told her to do that? And she said, come Thursday, let's go together in Delavan, Wisconsin, because that's where she lived. Let's go together in Delavan, Wisconsin. Delavan is a little town, 7,000 people, old, children, old, everybody, 7,000 people, that's small. Come and let's look for a building to rent and start a community center. I said, I'm really busy. Oh, you said that you will help me? Okay, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock. Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, I go. We go from door to door until 2 p.m. We didn't find any building available. I said, bye, God bless you. She says, I see you next Thursday. I said, no, you don't see me next Thursday. Well, you said Thursdays mornings. I said, no, I didn't say Thursdays. I said Thursday. Singular. No, I heard you. I said, no, you didn't hear me well. She said, no, you promised me. Now you come every Thursday until we find the building. Oh, man. Would you believe that I went every Thursday for 6 months, literally? I didn't like her anymore. I wanted to move from that district. I got tired of her. Every Thursday, literally, my wife got tired. You go again? Yes. Oh, I had stomach pain every time I would go. We would go from building to building. We finished the town. We started all over again. And then she said, okay, let's go to the next town, Elkhorn, Wisconsin. We went from door to door, business to business, building to building. And then we started all over again. And then we went third time in Delavan and third time in Elkhorn. I got tired of her. And I said, are you sure God told you? And she looked at me and she shook her head and she says, every day I ask him, Lord, please make it clear. And every day he says, keep going and just trust me. You don't need to understand God in order to obey God, because faith is not science. You need to obey without understanding. And I said to myself, man, she may be right and I may be wrong. Why don't I pray about it? And I started to pray about it. And God impressed me strongly that I need to repent and I need to keep going with her. And I don't need to understand, just keep going. And I didn't understand why. But now I do know why. And you'll see in a second. Nobody in that area knew the Adventist church. It was 20 old people going to church, singing the song and going home. Boring, nothing happening. In a good Sabbath, 30 people. That was like, wow, today we have 30 people. It was like, it was second coming, something, you know. Going from door to door. When we got the third time to people's doors, they knew us. Oh, you are from the Adventist church. You look for a building. You want to start a community center to help the poor. Everybody knew us. God allowed it because that was the best commercial that you can ever have. God allowed us to go for 6 months in order for that area to know that there is an Adventist church there. And after 6 months, when everybody got it, I didn't know at that time, but you'll see in a second when I realized. After 6 months, I was really tired. And I said, listen, I'm sorry, but I just cannot come anymore. I got tired of it. I said, Pastor, we need to keep going as long as God says. And you told me to pray God's will. Now I'm trying to obey God's will. Don't discourage me from doing that. And I felt really bad. I said, okay, let's keep going. And that day, I cannot forget. We got to a business. And the guy says, yeah, I give you the building. I said, what? He said, I am bankrupt. I close my business. I keep paying taxes. And I don't use the building. And last time when you came, I asked you for $4,000 a month. And you said you cannot offer more than two. I got tired of keeping it empty and paying. So I guess $2,000 a month is okay. I will take it. I said, God bless you. Let's sign the papers before you change your mind and before she changes her mind. We signed the papers, $2,000 a month. And I said to her, God bless you. You will not see me again next Thursday. And I was happy again. Well, in that second, when we finished signing the papers and shook hands, I got a phone call. It was the general manager from Kmart. And the guy says, we closed Kmart. And we have a bunch of shelvings. Did you get a building? And I said, how do you know? And he says, duh, everybody knows. I said, yes, we just got the building. Do you have shelving? No, the building is empty. Do you want shelving for free? I said, yes, come and take it. As much as you want. I took my head elder that had an F-150, a Ford truck. We loaded 3 trucks of shelving, way more than we needed. But that's how Adventists are, you know. We took way more than we needed, and we got shelving. After we got the shelving, I get a phone call from the Baptist pastor. He says, hey, pastor, did you get the building? Yes. Would you accept donations from a different church? Hey, we are Adventists. We accept donations from anybody. Bring it on. He gave me clothing. The Lutheran pastor called. Did you get the building? Yes. They gave me some old furniture from a lady that just died. And they emptied her house and gave us the furniture. And so on and so forth. 7 other churches, 7 other denominations started to give us donations, plus our little church. When Katrina came, do you remember? We sent within a month and a half, like 5-6 weeks, every week, an 18-wheeler full of donations from our little store. The Presbyterian Church came, a few people said, we are from the board. We have been trying for many years to have a prayer meeting in our church. Nobody comes. And you folks, in this community center, you started a prayer meeting Wednesday nights. We started a prayer meeting. People would come to buy and we would pray with them. And Wednesday night, we had 1 hour of the whole village, the whole town could come and we just prayed for them, laid hands on them and prayed for them. Isn't that a nice ministry? And they said, can you come? Because our members come to your prayer meeting. Can you come and start a prayer meeting in our church? I said, yes. And I started a prayer meeting in the Presbyterian church Tuesday night that I spoke. I gave them devotional and prayed, gave them. And that's the way Presbyterian church started to know the Adventist people. And then we got so many donations that we had no more room. And we stored them outside in the parking. And the winter came and it started to rain and to snow on our stuff. And we were praying, Lord, increase our territory. And the next door business comes to the lady and says, listen, you folks, you make a world of difference in this town. You help the poor. You pray with people. I want to be part of it. And he says, I have this business here, but I'm not doing well. Economy is down. So I closed half of my building so I don't have to pay heat during the winter. So my front street half is open, but my rear half of the building is closed. You can store your stuff inside that part and you don't have to pay for it. 3 months later, the next neighbor from the other side, not from the right side, but from the left side, comes and says, I was there. He says, you know, that guy told me that in 3 months, in half of the building, God blessed him more than all his life in the whole building. I'm going to give you half of my building. Maybe God will bless me. Then we got a phone call from the government. Folks, we heard what you do. We want you to handle the food stamps. We want you to handle the prison. People that come from prison, they are in probation. We want them to go to your community center and work volunteer work. And you give them Bible studies, whatever you want. We want them to spend the volunteering, the rehab time, the 6 months probation in your community center. And folks, we were on the newspaper front page week after week. Why? And the church people started to come, visitors. The church like, whoa, we have visitors. Before, if somebody came, it was like Christmas. And right now, we got people every Sabbath coming. Why? Because one lady was willing to listen. I want you to imagine if everybody in the church would listen to God's will every day. Can you process what God could do? We are too busy with self and never care about God's plan. And so, when you say, thy will be done, you really need to seek his will. Not only say it, but seek it and do it. If you want a blessing, don't seek a blessing for you. In fact, in the Bible, there is no blessing when you want a blessing. There is a blessing only when you share a blessing. It's a greater blessing to bless, to give than to receive, you remember? When God told Abraham, I will bless you. And then God says in Hebrew, so, listen, in Hebrew it says literally like this, so you shall be a blessing for all nations. Why? So in the Hebrew grammar, it is implied that God doesn't bless him to bless him. It blesses him in order to make him a blessing for others, not for self. We never get it that the blessings come when you start serving. We just want to be blessed and we never get it. Do you follow? And so let's move on after thy will be done to give us today our daily bread. It switches from focusing on God to focusing on your needs. And it does not talk about spiritual bread. There it talks about literal, physical bread, actually. It is okay to present your needs and say, Lord, I need a job, I need bread, I need shoes. It is okay to go with your needs before the Lord. As long as you put him first and his kingdom and his service and his plans, and then you accept his will, whatever that may be. And so, you say, give us today. You need to notice, it doesn't say, give me. It is again that type of reversible grammar that God doesn't want you to focus on you alone, but God wants you to understand that as much as you need bread, there are others, and you need to care for them too. And not only to say, oh, be with the poor. You actually need you to be with the poor. Instead of saying, May the gospel be preached to the whole world. That's baloney. The gospel is not going to be preached by itself. You are called to preach the gospel. You don't pray, may the gospel. You say, Lord, help me preach the gospel. You follow me? And so you don't say, help the poor. You say, give us the bread so we can share it. Do you follow me? That's the meaning of give us. For instance, and I could give you the quotations, the Bible verses, everything. For instance, we always, my wife and I, return more than 10%. And we always have a percentage that we put aside for the poor and aside for offerings. And for some reason, we are not rich. But we've never missed anything. We don't get 3 cars, 5 cars. But every time the car breaks, then I get somebody to fix it or I get a new one. Basically, for instance, in Romania, I was carrying Bibles, though it was against the law, and I was risking my freedom and my life. And after carrying 5 days and 5 nights, driving the whole night, unloading and unloading during the day, and driving next night, and after 5 nights of no sleep, I fell asleep driving the car, and I had an accident and ruined the car. Long story short, next week, I got a phone call from Germany. A lady donated me a car. And I didn't even know the lady. She said, I heard that you bring Bibles in the country and you lost your car. I want to give you a car so you could keep bringing Bibles. God always provides if you put him first. He says, test me. Put me to test and you'll not be sorry. And so, I'm going to go back now to the initial story. We always put God first and return more than 10% and give to the poor and give to, and somehow we always pay our bills. I know it sounds exaggerated, but I tell you the truth. I've never in my life been late with one bill. Never one yet. I always paid all my bills in time and in full. I never carry a balance. And so, I don't know how, but God has always blessed us. And my father used to return 90% and keep 10. And my father made a load of money. When I say a load, I mean a shovel of money. When the salary average in Romania was 2,500 a month, he made from work 6,000 a month, from private work after the work time, another 10,000-15,000 a month, and from beehives, he had 85 beehives, he made another 400,000-500,000 a year. And he took it all and he gave it to the church. And my mom would say, honey, how much did you bring today? He said, 25,000 I brought today. I just finished that hotel, fixing the whole construction, and I got paid 25,000. And my dad said, keep about 2,000 for us and give the rest 23 to the church. And my mom would say, why do you do that every month? And my father would say, well, honey, for 2 reasons. Number one, it comes from God. Number two, why would I keep it? If the economy drops, if the government takes it, wouldn't it be better if I use it for God and save souls that I will see in heaven? And he said, don't you see how God provides for us? The more we give, the more we receive. Let's keep giving. And so, back to the story. My wife and I said, we are poor, broke, just came from Andrews. She didn't have a job, didn't have furniture. We had no money. When you start as a pastor, you don't start with full salary. It grows a little. You start at so much percentage, you know. And anyway, we were really struggling. No furniture, no house, no, anyway. And so, as soon as I got my salary, I put on side the tithe money that were more than 10%. I put on side the offerings, I put on side the poor, then I paid the bills, then I got the money for my son's tuition for our Adventist school, and then I had left over 240 for the rest of the month to live. But I didn't worry because God every time applies the chewing gum principle with us. You know what that means? Chewing gum, you can chew it forever, it never ends. God uses those $240 forever. You just keep using it and it never ends for some reason. Do you follow me? And so I got $240 left over, and then I took the tuition money to go to school and pay my son's tuition because I don't like to be late to owe anybody anything. So I got in the van. I had a Toyota Sienna, a 2004 Toyota Sienna. Excellent, excellent car. Don't get a Dodge Grand Caravan. Get a Toyota if you want to get a car. I have no agenda. I don't sell cars. But anyway, so I got in the van. It was pouring heavy rain, and I'm driving around the block, around the block, around the block, around the block, and get to the school, our school. When to enter the school, a lady is there by the school crying. It was a lady that I just baptized a few weeks before. So I stopped the van and I said to her, "Why are you crying? Why do you stay in the rain?" And she says, "I cannot tell you." I said, "Get in the van or get in the school. Don't stay in the rain. And tell me so I know what to pray for. I don't want to complain. I cannot tell you. Come on, complain. I give you permission to complain. Say it." Well, they closed the GM. They closed the GM factory, the plant. 2,500 people lost jobs. I lost my job. I didn't pay my rent. I have two small children. One is in first grade and one is 4 years old. We didn't pay our electricity. We didn't pay our telephone. We didn't pay our... You follow? And we didn't pay rent. And she just evicted us from the apartment. And I don't know where to go. And I'm waiting to take my kids from the school. And then where do I go with them? And we have no food. We have no food. And she had two small babies. And God spoke in my mind, "How much do you have in your pocket?" And I said to the Lord, "Lord, this is crazy. I have the tuition money and I've never been late to the bill. I need to pay the bill." And God said, "No, she comes first before the bill. Give her the money." And I said, "No, I'm not going to give her the money. I go and pay tuition. This is tuition money." And God said, "No, you give her the money." And I was trying to get my hand into my pocket, but my hand didn't obey, you know. So I said to her, "Get in the van." She got in the van. We went to Aldi. Do you know Aldi store? It's a good place to shop. It's cheap, you know. We went to Aldi. And I said, "Do you drink milk?" "Uh-huh." I took a gallon of milk. I looked to her and she was sad. I took a second gallon and she smiled. I said, "Okay." I said, "Do you eat eggs?" "Uh-huh." I took a dozen. I looked to her. I took a second dozen and she smiled. "Oh, so many eggs. I've never seen so many eggs." "Okay." I filled the cart with groceries. I paid. And she said, "Is this for me?" I said, "Yes, it is for you." And she jumped and gave me a hug and started to cry. I said, "Enough. It's enough. Okay, you don't need to hug me forever." But you know, can you believe when she hugged me and she cried, I started to cry. It was like I was blessed. Not only her that received the groceries, but me. And then I had leftover money and I got an idea. God spoke in my mind. I called her landlord. Now I do know who that landlord is. That lady owns 450 apartments in Wisconsin. 450 apartments. She is rich. And I said, "Listen, you need to forgive her and let her in because it's winter and she has two babies." "No, she needs to pay. If she doesn't pay, she's out." I said, "Lady, you have a load of money. You have so much money you can never use. She is poor. Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am." I said, "I know what church you go to." I knew precisely the pastor of that denomination, of that church. Because we met when the pastors from the whole city met. And I knew exactly because I did some evangelism, some people came. Anyway, long story short, I knew to what church she went. And I said, "You are not a Christian. You learn about helping the poor, but you don't do it. When Jesus comes, he's going to say, 'I was naked, I was hungry.' You remember?" She said, "Oh, don't preach to me." I said, "Why not?" And I said, "You are not a Christian. I'm going to call your pastor and let him know what a Christian you are." "Oh, you'll not call him." "Oh, you don't know me. I'm crazy. I will call him. I will call the newspaper. I can hardly wait. I'm going to tell them how you behave, how you kick in the street a woman with two small children." And I said, "This is the deal. I'm going to pay half, though I don't have your money, and you forgive half, let her in."
No, I cannot do it. I said, lady, do you have children? Yes. Why? Do you want them to be in heaven? Yes. Why? Hey, they don't do what you say. They do what they see. Children are like monkeys. They do what they see. They are going to be as selfish as you are. She said, I cannot believe you call me selfish. I said, yes, you are selfish. You are going to teach your children to be just like you, and they will be lost as you are. I said, well, you don't know how to respect people. I said, you don't deserve it. And man, she was in shock that I talked to her that way. She said, I guess I can forgive her this month, but not next month. I said, okay, now you are a Christian. Let's talk business. I said, I give half, you forgive half. Next month, you don't have to do it again. She said, okay, I'm coming. I went there, paid half. She forgave half. Our lady was back in the apartment, and she had food. I called my board members. I said, folks, you don't have a pastor before you do what I did. They said, what do you mean? I want you, not from the church budget, but from your own pocket, to raise money and pay her telephone and her electricity. And they did. Good board. They did. And I said to the lady, I got you back in. I got you food, electricity, telephone, everything. You go and get a job. You don't have to get a good job. Get any job. Go to Walmart and get a job. I don't care. You get a job before you get a better job. And while you have a job, you keep looking for a better job. You get any job you can get today, because next month we don't help you again. However, next month I want you to come to me and give me a name of somebody that you helped. I need to have a name, somebody that is more poor than you, and you say, I helped that person. You need to be part of this blessing if you want to be part of this church. And she did. She came next month. She said, I am working, and this is the person that I helped. I said, good for you. You are an Adventist. Now, I went home after I helped her. My wife says, honey, it took a long time to pay tuition. You should have been back in 15 minutes. The school is around the block. I said, I know. And I said, I didn't pay tuition. And she said, you lost the money? You never lose anything. I said, no, I didn't lose the money. You have the money? No, I don't have the money. You didn't lose and you didn't have. You spent them? No, honey, you know I'm not a spender. Then what did you do? I said, well, I helped this lady and this is the story. Oh. My wife jumped at me, hugged me, said, good for you. Now I love you even more. I said, honey, I'm stressed. She says, why? I didn't pay tuition. It's first time in my life when I don't pay a bill. And it's due tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. It's the last day for tuition to be paid. Said, honey, God wants you to teach how it is not to pay a bill. Don't worry. I said, no, no, no. God doesn't want me to live in debt. She said, stop worrying. Give it to him. He has worked in the past. He's going to work again. He said, okay, okay. And I was like, I need the money to pay tuition. 2 o'clock, I go and pick up the mail. And it is a check from IRS, from taxes, from the government. 4 years ago, you did a mistake in your taxes. And this is the money plus interest. Would you believe that it was the amount, the whole amount that I spent that day? I tell you the truth. God doesn't always do it that way. Sometimes he would bless you later. He always pays back. But sometimes later, sometimes through other means. But that day, he made my day. He said, hey, you made my day. I'm going to make your day. Anyway, our time is up. I wanted to move into forgive our sins as we forgive the others. Because this is a tough one. Probably the most important of all. But we don't have time. It's already 7:25. 7:30 is the meal. When it's about meal, after my sermon, you'll never be late for a meal because I don't miss a meal, you know. But we'll continue tomorrow. Because if I start that subject about experiencing forgiveness and sharing forgiveness, when I start that subject, I'm going to go. And so we stop. Do you have two questions? Because we still have a few minutes. Yes. Which one? Remind. Okay, should we repeat the same prayer again and again and again?
Yes and no. Let me explain it. We should not repeat the same words. We should not push God, twist his arm. You follow me? We should not push God's will. We should respect God's will. Allow God to be God. Let him make the final decision. But you can ask him. Supposedly you have somebody in your family sick. You can go to him again and again and ask, Lord, I would like you to heal my son or my wife or whatever. As long as we don't twist his arm and we say, nevertheless, please do the way you want. I give you permission to do the way you want, not the way I ask, and help me accept it peacefully. So it is okay to present it as long as you surrender it. Do you follow me? It's not okay to push. Please, please, please do it, period. However, there is something that comes into the picture that is very hard for people to accept. I myself learned to put a limit to my requests. Let me explain it. When I pray for something, I don't pray forever for it. For instance, we prayed in Romania that we would go to a school. And we decided to pray for 3 months. Season of prayer, the Bible says. Jesus prayed 40 days in the wilderness. Moses prayed 40 days on the mountain. Disciples prayed 10 days in the upper room. You always find in the Bible a season of prayer connected with, you follow me? And so I am not planning to push God forever because God may have a different plan. So I'm going to decide a time frame. It depends how big is the problem. If it's cancer, a longer time. If it's a car, 3 days and that's it, or whatever. You follow me? And I ask God to impress me how long I should go on and when should I drop it and move on. And God would impress me. And if God impresses me to pray long, I pray long, but I am always ready to surrender because the problem is not that we pray for it. The problem is that we don't surrender. If we pray and surrender, God is okay with it. If we are willing to accept his will. And so we prayed for 3 months and God didn't answer. We did our part. We sent letters to all schools in Europe. And God didn't answer. No school in Europe bothered to answer to our letters. So after 3 months, we moved on and gave up school. And we said, if you want school, you will answer whenever you want. And it happens in my life, I don't know about you, that when I pray for something, God doesn't answer. And when I move on and give it up, then he answers. And before I give it up, he never answers for some reason. And when we gave up school and moved on, it was 6 months later, we even forgot about school. I got a letter. You are invited to come to Southern Adventist University in America. And I never wanted America because in a communist country, we are taught that America is evil. That's how we are raised. In America, people shoot each other. They take drugs. You go there, you lose your children. They are evil. So I said, no, I'm not going to America. But God, long story, I don't have time to tell the story. I will tell it tomorrow. God did miracle after miracle to the point that we did come to school in America. Nobody shot us so far. And we don't take drugs. I never touched drugs in my life. I don't know the taste. I never smoked, never drank alcohol, never touched pork. Nobody killed me. Nobody gave me drugs. I'm okay. But my point is, I gave it to God. And God heard it. And we keep pushing because we don't trust. We doubt that he would work. But God actually works in his time. There was another hand. Yes, another notes. I've written a book with the stories, and you learn from stories better than from the notes. Yeah. It's called One Miracle After Another. And I am working on a second book with a prayer seminar that will come probably next year. Anyway, let's pray and go to meal. I will continue tomorrow. I'm going to tell you, remind me to finish the story of the school and go into forgiveness. Hopefully tomorrow we finish the Lord's Prayer. And then Saturday morning, I'm going to actually give a sermon. Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, it is more than we can grasp to actually be able to hear your voice. Lord, Help us learn to walk with you. Again and again, it comes in my mind that Jesus didn't do what he wanted, but he did what you told him. Help us do like Jesus. Help us depend on you every moment. Help us sense your Holy Spirit leading us and make us a blessing for others. Make us salt, make us light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, Jesus says in John 5, I don't say my own words. I say the words that the Father gives me. And in John 8, I don't do my works, but I do the works of the Father. What if we did that? Can you imagine? Okay, see you tomorrow.